This week on The Word of the Lord Endures Forever, we move along in the Psalter, picking up with Psalms 101 to 103. I will walk with integrity, like an evening shadow, that a people to be created may praise the Lord, to set free those doomed to die, and bless the Lord, O my soul. Join me, Pastor Will Wheaton, for The Word of the Lord Endures Forever, your daily 15-minute verse-by-verse Bible study on demand. Listen at thewordendures.org or your favorite podcast provider.
O Lord, open my lips.
And I will declare your praise.
Make haste, O God, to deliver me.
Make haste, help me, O Lord.
Glory be to
God.
Thank you.
A reading from Luke chapter 5. After this, he went out and saw a tax collector named Levi sitting at the tax booth. And he said to him, "Follow me." And leaving everything, he rose and followed him. And Levi made him a great feast in his house. And there was a large company of tax collectors and others reclining at table with them. And the Pharisees and their scribes grumbled at his disciples, saying, "Why do you eat and drink with tax collectors and sinners?" And Jesus answered them, "Those who are well have no need of a physician, but those who are sick. I have not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance." This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Grace, mercy, and peace be yours in Christ Jesus. Amen and amen. It's an honor to be with you today. I bring you greetings from the churches, the members of the churches of Ohio District, with our churches in Ohio, West Virginia, and Northern Kentucky. We are well aware of the blessings we receive as being a district which is neighboring to the seminary, and we appreciate our partnership in the gospel. We truly do. And one note for our current preachers and future preachers, as way of introduction, pay close attention to the liturgical calendar. I mean, I do pay attention to it, because I don't know from week to week whether I'm going to be preaching according to the 3-year cycle or 1-year cycle, but somehow in selecting this date and agreeing to it, I didn't see that it commemorates John Chrysostom. How would you like to be preaching on a day known for the golden mouth, the golden tongue? Yeah, no pressure there, right? No pressure whatsoever. Pay attention to that lectionary. And with that, our text. After this, Jesus went out and saw a tax collector named Levi sitting at a tax booth. And he said to him, "Follow me." Leaving everything, he rose and followed him. I love the way Luke chose not just to tell us, right? He really wanted to show us. He didn't tell us. And here is Levi, tax collector, who's looking for a rabbi, who's even looking for the Christ, the Messiah. Instead, he shows us by the fact that Jesus says, "Come follow me," Levi will leave everything. And it's up to our imagination to go, what all did he leave there? Did he leave a bunch of taxes which had been collected? Was he alone? Was he with another group of people? With other tax collectors? What did they think of him if they were there and he left? All these things, all to make a singular point that he was ready. Levi was ready to answer the call when Jesus said, "Come, follow me." Now, I dare say in this day and age, we know far too many people who have no desire to know Jesus, none. And they stand eternally condemned and don't fully understand why or even what's going to happen in eternity. Yet they have no desire. But there are some that God's been working in that will respond, who want to know more about God, who want to have a relationship with God instead of believing some higher power who's unembodied somewhere in space. They want to know Jesus. And in our various vocations, at times, we'll be blessed to be the ones to be able to share. This is Jesus. Now look, I get it. The vocation of pastor, that's most frequently where this will happen. And even preparing for pastoral ministry, I'm sure you've discovered, seminarians, that when you go back home, some people kind of look at you odd, and other people are more willing to talk about spiritual matters. Point of illustration, the churches I've served allowed, I dare say, desire to have non-member weddings as part of outreach to the community. Now, we had policies, right? The church said, A, you got to do premarital counseling with our pastors. B, you've got to use our wedding liturgy. Those are not negotiable. One couple who made the appointment with me, not members of our church, were sitting looking at the worship service for the wedding. And we got 10 minutes into it, and the bride, she looks at me, and she just shakes her head and goes, "Are you sure we can't change, like, the vows some?" I'm like, "No, that's not negotiable here." And she finally said, "This is too overtly Christian." That's what a pastor wants to hear. Actually, you do want to hear it, but nevertheless, we all are pastors. We all said the same thing in leaving. If you need anything else from us, learn more about God, let us know. They were out the door. In fact, the only thing left was the husband's hand at the office door when he poked his head back in and said, Pastor Wilson, I would like to know more about this Jesus. And so I must report, I'm sorry, I did not get to officiate the wedding. I did get to confirm them right before their first anniversary and baptize him. Why? Because God had moved him to that point to where he was honestly curious about this Jesus and was willing to spend time with a stranger at first to learn about him. Now, I said this goes for all our vocations. Please take that seriously, because there are people out there who either don't know what a pastor is or would be really anxious talking to a pastor, but they'll talk to a friend. So your vocation might be friend, it might be family member, it could be fellow student or coworker. Whatever your vocation God has placed you in, you're in position to ask that question, do you want to know more about Jesus? And once in a while, the answer is yes. With that said, we continue with the text. And Levi made him a great feast at his house. And there was a large company of tax collectors and others reclining at the table with them. And the Pharisees and their scribes grumbled at his disciples, saying, "Why do you eat and drink with tax collectors and sinners?" And Jesus answered them, "Those who are well have no need of a physician, but those who are sick. I have not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance." Man. Love to know what the disciples and the Pharisees and scribes were thinking when Jesus said, "I have come to not to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance." Surely they looked at the tax collectors and they looked at those sinners and said, "Ah, that's who Jesus is referring to right there, right? Those are the sinners. Those are the sinners. We ourselves who are committed to God, who have made a lifelong commitment to her, who are professionals in the religious field, we are obviously those among the righteous." Surely that's what they're thinking. And this is where we rely on the wisdom of the church fathers. John Chrysostom, his 30th meditation in Luke, he makes a reference to this particular passage, and he says that Jesus himself is practicing irony. Jesus is practicing irony when he makes that statement. Because we know from Romans chapter 3 that all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. So everyone he was looking at was in fact sinner. All were in the same boat. All were born in sin and had sinned. That was known by Jesus as a fact. So what then? Well, Chrysostom also makes a note that, remember, Jesus is the second Adam. The first Adam is born without sin, the second Adam without sin, because he is born, conceived of the Holy Spirit. So Jesus as the second Adam, born without the curse of original sin, and did not sin. Now, this application, while it may make us a little bit squeamish, is strong for us. We are obviously committed to the faith. At least by all outward appearances, we are doing our very best to be followers of Christ, to be faithful to this one triune God. And we even are specifically Lutheran, trying very hard to fit into our confession of faith. There's no question about that. But there's also no question that when we were born, we also were born in sin, and that we had sinned. There's also no question about that. That's the great equalizer. We can look down on no person because we are in the same place they are. Now, in junior confirmation, adult confirmation, witnessing, I've used something called the game of God. God created a game. Kind of answers this conundrum of what happens when all are sinners. In God's game of life, the rules are very simple. If you never sin, you never die. Right? If you never sin, you never die. Well, that's a problem, right? There's only one then who could win the game of life. Only Jesus could win the game of life, and yet he died. Why would he die? He can't die. He won the game of life. Well, then he had to die because of our sins. He had to take our sins to that cross. He had to be put to death for our sins to take our punishment. And then when he's raised from the dead, the victory is for us. We all get to win this game of life. And in fact, he wins the game of life because he was without sin, therefore he is resurrected. This is the heart and soul of God restoring all people to himself. And this is that motivation for us to continue forward and ask God for those people who are, however he's done it, got them in a position to where they really want to know more about Jesus. And we can ask that question, do you want to know? Do you want to know more about Jesus? And our Lord willing, have a relationship where we get to share that from that point forward. Amen. Please stand for prayer.
Most gracious Heavenly Father,
We acknowledge, as we stand before you, that we have no right by birth to face you. And yet your Son, your glorious Son, sacrificed all so that we can stand here in a right relationship with you through faith in him, a faith that you have graciously given to us. And so we ask you, we plead with you, that you would preserve us in this faith, strengthen us in this faith, so we'll be of service for you. And if that service, Father, can mean we get to talk about your Son, oh, all the more. Open those doors. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.
O Lord,
have mercy.
O Christ,
have mercy.
O Lord,
have mercy.
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name.
Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine
Hear my prayer, O Lord.
Let my cry come to you.
In the day of my trouble, I call upon you.
For you answer me.
Hide your face from my sins.
And blot out all my iniquities.
Create in me a clean heart, O God.
And renew a right spirit within me.
Cast me not away from your presence.
And take not your Holy Spirit from me.
Restore to me the joy of your salvation.
And uphold me with a willing spirit.
Because your steadfast love is better than life.
My lips will praise you.
For you have been my help. Teach me your way, O Lord, that I may walk in your truth. I give thanks to you, O Lord my God, with my whole heart. May all who seek you rejoice and be glad in you. Save your people and bless your heritage. Give ear, O Lord, to my prayer. In our prayers, we remember all our chaplains, especially Eric Baer, Philip Callahan, Jonathan Lorenz, Ryan Mills, Bobby Nemschke, Joshua Schiff, Ryan Schnakey, Joseph Seifert, Nathaniel Jensen, Peter Williams, Eric Malmstrom, Louise Lang, Jansen Stephenson, and all our military personnel, especially Joshua Castle, Linnea Elmore, Kyle Flanick, Alan Hosier, Cassie Hosier, Preston Curligrand. Let us pray. Almighty and everlasting God, mercifully look upon our infirmities and stretch forth the hand of your majesty to heal and defend us. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
Lord God of hosts, stretch forth your almighty arm to strengthen and protect those who serve in the armed forces of our country, especially all our chaplains and military personnel. Support them in times of war and in times of peace. Keep them from all evil, giving them courage and loyalty. Grant that in all things they may serve with integrity and with honor, through Jesus Christ our Lord.
Amen.
O God, you gave to your servant John Chrysostom grace to proclaim the gospel with elegance and power. As bishop of the great congregation of Antioch and Constantinople, he fearlessly bore reproach for the honor of your name. Mercifully grant to all bishops and pastors such elegance in preaching and fidelity in ministering your word, that your people shall be partakers of the divine nature, through Jesus Christ our Lord.
Amen.
I thank you, my heavenly Father, through
Jesus Christ, through your Son, that you have kept me this night from all harm and danger. I pray that you should be keeping this day also from sin and every evil, that all my dreams and life may please you. For into your hands I commend myself, my body and soul and all things. Let your holy angel be with me, that the evil foe may have no power over you. Amen.
Let us bless the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The Lord bless us, defend us from all evil, and bring us to everlasting life.
Amen. Amen.